in a time of need.
A crisis unlike any we have seen in our lifetime.
In a battle like no other.
My attitude control is down.
You'll never make it to Galactica.
A nation looks for leadership.
This plan must begin today. A plan I am confident will save or create at least 3 million jobs over the next few years.
A nation seeks a safe landing somewhere in the galaxy.
I'm out of here. Okay, I'm jumping back home.
Fortunately, in this crisis, the new season of Battlestar Galactica is backing up this new president. BHO plus BSG. Go, USA. It's The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning, everyone. It's Friday, January 9th. Adora Udoji is away. We're going to get right to your top headlines, but we have full coverage this morning on this program of the new Battlestar Galactica season and Barack Obama's stimulus package announced in his speech yesterday. So politics makes strange bedfellows, but abstinence was the word last night at the United Nations, at least from the U.S. delegation. The United Nations resolution calling for a ceasefire in Gaza passed with America abstaining. Despite that, the Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice says the U.S. actually supports the measure.
This resolution is a step toward our goals. It reflects the international community's concern about the circumstances in Gaza and its desire for a sustainable peace in Gaza.
A real ceasefire is up to Israel and Hamas. Fighting continued in the wake of the UN vote. Palestinian Foreign Minister Riyad al-Maliki wants to see the resolution become reality.
Israel, the occupying power, must immediately implement this resolution. Aggression must cease so that we all may have the opportunity to work to heal the wounds of our people.
Israel wants assurances Hamas attacks will stop before it will fully sign on. Foreign Ministry spokesman Yigal Palmor.
I can tell you this. To call for a ceasefire is all very well, but what are the guarantees that the ceasefire will be respected and that our rocket shooting will not be renewed?
The Israeli offensive has gone on nearly 2 weeks. Two of the world's most wanted terrorists are dead. A U.S. intelligence official tells the Associated Press that al-Qaeda operatives died in a New Year's Eve U.S. missile strike on Pakistan. Femi, there's economic news all over the place this morning,
right?
Oh,
yes, absolutely. Good morning, everybody. President-elect Barack Obama's pitched his economic plan in yesterday's speech, but he has to convince Congress if he wants it to become a reality. And lawmakers hope to move the stimulus package through by mid-February. We'll also get a closer look at the employment situation a little later this morning when some key numbers come out, and some economists are predicting that unemployment could be as high as 7%. John.
That's big. Oh, bankruptcy judges may have the power to change some home loans. That's good for consumers. The Florida Gators are football's new champions. And a mixed day on Wall Street yesterday, and the stocks are poised to open flat this morning. The S&P begins trading at 9:09. You know about infrastructure, right, Fem?
Yeah, of course.
Americans,
holds us together.
80% of Americans said they're willing to pay higher taxes for better infrastructure.
Mm.
And this poll asked the questions like, would you rather be stuck in traffic for an hour or have an hour-long dental appointment?
Traffic.
So the question for you is, what would you rather do than be stuck in traffic? Think about infrastructure. 877-8-MY-TAKE, mytake at thetakeaway.org.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org, and by the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation to enhance public understanding of science and technology in the modern world.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. We've got a galaxy of economic news to talk about. And in a poll released yesterday, I mentioned this a moment ago, more than 80% of Americans said they're willing to pay higher taxes for better infrastructure. And infrastructure is on the table with the Barack Obama stimulus plan, basically announced yesterday in a speech down in Washington. Anyway, people in this poll were asked questions like, would you rather be stuck in traffic for an hour or have an hour-long dental appointment? Think about it.
What are you sacrificing during the times of bad infrastructure? And what are you willing to sacrifice to get better infrastructure? Tell us your stories at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. So did you hear Barack Obama yesterday?
Nothing is done. This recession could linger for years. The unemployment rate could reach double digits.
President-elect Barack Obama did not wait for his inauguration to give a major policy speech on economics. He's urging Congress to act quickly on a stimulus bill that could reach $1 trillion. It's a reality Obama did not sugarcoat yesterday when he addressed the nation and talked about the possibility of double-digit unemployment. Later today, unemployment numbers are going to come out. They are not expected to be double digits, but the trend is definitely higher. Joining us to discuss the ailing economy and to basically put together a set of voices of people listening to what Barack Obama is saying and trying to gauge if the prescription for this economy is actually what's needed. Also joining us is Christopher Hayes, Washington editor of The Nation. Kelly Evans is a reporter for The Wall Street Journal. She's right here in the studio. Jim Svets, our friend, former CEO of Muddy Cup Coffee House, a small business in upstate New York. And it's fair to say that Jim Svets' career has tracked the recession for more than a year now. Jim, good morning to you.
Hello, how are you?
Kelly, thanks for coming in.
Sure, thanks for having me.
Chris Hayes, welcome back.
Thanks a lot.
So let me begin with you, Christopher Hayes. What did you hear in Barack Obama's speech yesterday? And do you see a vision going forward that is radical enough to deal with what you think needs to happen?
Well, the short answer to the second question is I fear not. And the answer to the first question is I heard sort of classic Barack Obama, which is the center of the political debate on fiscal stimulus has shifted quite a bit. If you look at the presidential debates just a few months ago, people were saying things like, well, we're going to have to cut back spending in the face of the recession and we need to balance the budget. That's out the window, thankfully. But there still, I think, is not if you listen to the speech yesterday, that Obama's not approaching the problem necessarily quite at the scope that the problem warrants.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that in some detail in a moment. Kelly Evans, did you think the president-elect described the urgency, particularly of the employment situation, in an appropriate way, or was it a little more glossed over?
I don't know. I think he tried. I don't know how much of the population was necessarily listening to that speech or will read the transcript from it. I think the more important takeaway is sort of if we're starting to see this shape up and if he's doing a good enough job of selling it to people, especially to the people who he needs their help most in getting it done, to Congress and to some of these economists who, you know, like you said, like we were just saying, that the center has moved on this and it's pretty much a consensus that we need to have a massive plan going on here if we want to sort of head off the weakening. But it'll be really interesting to see if we can continue to get sort of this broad-based support for it or if we start to stumble.
Massive program, okay? He made a promise yesterday, 3 million jobs basically in 18 months. Is there much precedent for an economic program delivering on that kind of a promise?
There's not much precedent for anything here right now. And the creation of 3 million jobs, even if reached, would be, you know, we've already lost through 2008 1.9 million jobs through November. We're, you know, the numbers later today probably going to add about 500,000 to that. So at some point, those numbers are just beginning to cover what's happened in the past year. Mm-hmm. And I guess my concern here is that, you know, how much more of the economy weakens before we get some sort of plan in place. And speaking with some of the analysts and economists on this, they say, yeah, we want quick action, but with this kind of money being spent, we really just want to make sure that we're actually going to get some sort of stable job creation, some way to grow the economy out of this.
Well, forget analysts, forget economists. Jim Svets, there in upstate New York, former CEO of Muddy Cup Coffee House, a casualty of the credit crunch, and now your attempt to get back into the economy is a casualty of the unemployment crisis. How you doing, first of all?
Oh, doing really well, actually.
That's good. Bad.
You can't keep us entrepreneurs down for very long.
So if you are looking at the reaction in your community to either Barack Obama's speech or the early implementation of this stimulus package, what things are you looking for that would indicate that things are turning around?
Well, you know, yesterday, I don't really think he was speaking to us. I think he was really speaking to Congress. He's got to sell Congress on this, and obviously that's kind of out of us down here on Main Street is kind of out of our hands at this point. But the fact that he's doing something and is trying to be as aggressive as possible is great. But we're still missing. I think this is only one part of what's going to have to be done. There's going to have to be more you know, more plans besides just this stimulus plan. You know, and I'm the small business advocate. I'm like, where is the help for the small business owner, whether it's mom and pop or somebody with 10 employees? There's a lot of us out here that have small businesses, and there really is no help. So,
well, let's talk about that help. Let's talk about that in detail, Jim. Do you need help with interest rates for financing your cash flow, or do you need subsidies for benefits, health care for your employees? What kinds of help are you talking about there?
I think really it's looking for people that want to open their own business. If you're going to have 3 million unemployed people, you know, it's great. Let's put them to work on a road or a bridge. And I think that's needed at some point. But what about helping somebody start a business? When you help somebody start a business, that business is growing from zero to 60. It needs everything it needs to do business. So can you imagine helping people open their own business? They're going to not only have to hire themselves, they're going to have to hire other employees and then purchase everything they need to run that business. That kind of growth can really work in the next 18 months.
Although demand is really essential for businesses like that to work. Christopher Hayes, what's your response to what Jim was saying?
Yeah, I think that there's one of the things I think was interesting is that when he said 3 million jobs yesterday, he basically said he in sort of classic Obama fashion, hedged it by saying create or save. And I think there's actually two things to think about here. In the save category is essentially triage, making sure that, for instance, state budget shortfalls don't mean that necessary programs are cut back, food stamps, local services, food, you know, et cetera. And making sure that that doesn't exacerbate a bad situation already. And then create has to do with ultimately, in the sort of long-term sense, increasing the productive capacity of the American economy. Increasing the productive capacity of the American economy is going to come through smart public investments that provide public goods, things like broadband, et cetera.
Now, is Congress capable of coming up with a consensus to produce that sort of thing? Or would you expect more of, oh, wow.
Well, yikes. I mean, yeah, well, you know, I can't say that I am the most confident in the ability of the American federal government right now at this particular moment, not as a definitional matter, not as a sort of philosophical matter, but the actual government we've inherited, even though we have new leadership. You know, it is very much still controlled largely by large interests. And I think we've seen, you know, the through line through this economic crisis is that the large players, the banks and the Citigroups, et cetera, have gotten their way. And the question is, is the power imbalance in this country so severe that it blocks, you know, the other people, the small business owners and the working people, from getting their way in this stimulus?
So you would argue for more of a Barack Obama kind of steamroller package and, you know, Congress be damned in the short term and see about it maybe in the second term, more of a consensus approach.
Yeah. Yes. I'm pro steamroller at this point.
Okay. Yeah. Kelly, the Citigroup Dick Durbin story that came out yesterday. Suddenly, bankruptcy judges are going to be able to renegotiate primary home loans. Is that important for consumers, do you think?
Well, I do think I'm surprised how long it's taken for us to get some sort of fundamental, you know, legal changings or whatever it takes to address some of what's at the heart of the crisis here, and certainly where some of the pain has been the longest, and that is in housing, and that's what's touched so many people. And when you look at what the problem is with our economy now, when you say it's the loss of spending, well, why? Because people have lost money on their house, they've lost money in the market. So what's going on here, I think is encouraging. I think we need to be able to keep people in their houses however possible, avoid foreclosures, create some assistance. I mean, there's no easy answer to this, but I do think it's a time, if ever, for some sort of, like we were saying, steamroller approach to get people spending again.
Jim Svets, when you see these renegotiated mortgage programs coming out of Washington, it seems the message is everything is negotiable. Want to give us a last word? Does that give you some confidence?
We need more. There's definitely going to be more. Where's phase two, phase three? And it's got to move quickly.
All right.
And there's got to be a small business component somewhere. We got to do it.
All right. Well, Jim Svets, former CEO of Muddy Cup Coffee House, but he's a small business owner now in upstate New York. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for being with us, Jim.
Oh, you're welcome.
Take care up there. Kelly Evans, reporter for The Wall Street Journal, right here in the studio. And Christopher Hayes, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
Christopher Hayes is the Washington editor of The Nation. Three voices reacting to the stimulus package proposed yesterday by Barack Obama.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.